All right, I believe we're on page, is it 112? 112. And I did not bring any, I have some extra sheets in the back. I didn't bring any here, but I don't know that we'll need to, because we're just going to call attention to some scriptures and then deal with that. So if you don't have a book, that's fine. If you do, you could turn over, or a paper, you could turn over to 112. And we're looking at context, right? What was context? What does that mean? Keeping things in context? Subject matter, yeah.
Not just taking the like verse or portion by itself, but keeping in mind like the time it was written, who it was written to, why it was written, just everything before and after.
And context can start kind of broad, right? Because like there's a context to the Bible, right? What's the context of the Bible? The whole Bible. Yes.
Who God is.
Yeah. Who wrote it?
It's the Word of God.
It's God's Word. God wrote it. Who did he write it to?
Everybody.
Mankind. That's right. Why did he write it? Do you see how I'm filling in blanks in for context? I'm asking myself questions. Who wrote it? Who wrote it to? Why did he write it? Yes. To reveal himself and to reveal an issue that we have, right? Right? Because at the end of the day, it's a love letter to us because it shows us our problem and how it can be fixed. Does that pretty much sum up the Bible?
Yeah.
It really does, right? So what is that? The context of the Bible. Then you start going into different parts of the Bible. Whether you're talking, that's why we break things up typically dispensationally. Dispensation's a Bible word, and it means an administration of a period of time. The first dispensation we usually would call innocence, or in the beginning, right? That would be creation. We know that there was a fall. That we usually would call that like a dispensation of conscience, right? Where we became aware of sin. And we don't go on down. Right now we're in a dispensation we would call grace, right? The church age. And so you can look at the different contexts in light of those dispensations, right? And then every dispensation has a series of books to it, right? Bible books. And then you can go to those books, and now we can start breaking that down. What is the context of, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those gospels? We can figure that out. Acts, the history book of the New Testament, at least the Pauline epistles. At least the formation of the church through the Pauline epistles. You can figure that out. So again, just breaking things down. That's what we're talking about, context, context, context. And then once you get into a book, then you can start looking at even in a keep honing that thing down, and we can look at a particular topic and say, what's the context of this topic? Does it make sense? And that's kind of where we're at right now. And on this, we're looking at context explains difficulties. And we left off here last week. I'm going to go back to it, 1 Corinthians 6. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians 6, and I actually pulled my notes on two passages of Scripture, and just on this verse and then another verse which is very similar. And so if you do start taking notes and studying and all that, I would encourage you to do it in a format that you could go back and review. So like I'll usually title my files that I study, I title it by that book. Like sometimes I'll do like a name. If it's a general study, you know, whatever. But typically I'll put like in these studies, like this one's 1 Corinthians 6, this one's 1 Corinthians 10, right? And then I can go into those and go to those particular passages so I can find it again. Because if you keep it and then you can't find it, it wasn't much good. Amen. And so anyway, just a file system. That's kind of how I do that. I enjoy, like this one I looked up was back from like 2011. We apparently went through 1 Corinthians. So it's fun for me to look and say, wow, what were my notes like, 13 years ago? But it helps me not have to reduplicate some things. I can go back and kind of build on some things that I already done. So anyway, 1 Corinthians 6:12. Who wants to read that? Hannah.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of men.
So just looking at that, what's that verse say? Yes.
Just looking at that verse and all the context?
Yeah.
Well, all the things are lawful, so I can do anything, just not everything is good for me to do.
Okay. Okay.
I can't do anything that I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything.
So it does kind of denote there that if I, when I do something, I could be under its power. It denotes that, right? And it would denote the fact that, like you said, I could do anything. Some things aren't good for me. And when I do it, I'll be affected by that. Is that kind of generally where we're at with that verse? Okay. So has anybody ever studied this out? I know I've mentioned it. Have you? Okay. Has anybody else ever studied this passage? No? Look over at the sister passage in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. When someone gets there, you have that, Patricia? Oh. Yeah? They're only confusing if you don't approach it right. Number one, being born again. You got to be a Christian. You got to have the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in truth. And then number two, have a process to it. When you hear me go through passages, it's a constant process, right? I'm asking questions. I'm asking the same questions all the time, right? And that's how you have to be consistent. That's what we're trying to do with this, right? Who has 1 Corinthians 10, 23? Nancy?
All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
So that's the difference, right? The other one says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This one, same verse for the most part, but at the end it says, all things edify not. What's edify mean? Hannah? Yeah, help somebody. It's somebody else, right? We don't edify self. We're called to edify others. So encourage others. The word actually means edifice, build up, right? It's building an edifice, right? 1 Corinthians 3 is a great cross-reference for that because that's where we're adding, like we have a foundation, we're adding parts of the building, the aggregate of a building to help build a church, people, things like that. And so all things edify not. So all things are lawful, but not everything helps people, right? That's where people say, hey, I can do that. It's no big deal. Yeah, but by you doing that, you're actually discouraging somebody, right? And so by this, it's just saying, you can, but it might not be a help to somebody. Does that make sense? So we have that aspect of this verse. So cloud in our book here, if you have your book on page 112, he says, consider all things are lawful unto me. He says, does this mean that the believer can do whatever he pleases? Now, let me just say, when you're studying the Bible, the question you ask is very important. Is this a good question to ask based on this text? As a Bible student, I will say no. Is this a question you might get asked? Yes. But is this a question a Bible student asks himself? No. What would be a better question to ask? When you just look at this passage, give me some general questions that you could ask yourself so that you could come to a conclusion on what this passage means. What would you ask? What do you think?
Based on the wording, it says all things are lawful. And so the first time I really ever looked at it, one of my things is, well, it uses the word lawful.
Right.
So all things would be, it's not that it would necessarily inherently be a sin to participate in them.
Okay, let's break it down more. Let's ask these questions. Does all in this text mean all? Now, you might say, all always means all. No, it doesn't. All means all of the context. So, all, if I said, all people go to hell, is that true? Depends on the context. If I'm talking about lost people, is that a right statement? Yes. Do you see what I'm saying? So, that statement can be true. It's just based on context. So, when it says, all things are lawful unto me. All, what do you mean? What things? Do you see what I'm saying? Yes.
All things that aren't like prohibited already, like things that just.
We're just asking questions.
Too far into it already.
But we're just asking questions. We're not answering yet, right? All things are lawful unto me. What law? Is this the Mosaic law? Is this the general law of all mankind? What law? Is this the law of the state of Indiana? Right? That's the questions we ask. And that's how Bible students do it. They start just breaking it down. All things are lawful unto me. Does all mean all, completely all, or is there a context to all? All things, what things? Lawful unto me, what law? Do you see that? Are we getting it? Okay, so, yes.
All things are not expedient.
That's right.
What things?
What things? That's right. So again, this is how we approach it. You don't read into it. And this is what we typically do. We think we already know what it means. Don't do that. Stay on the outside looking in. That's how, if you'll do that, you'll help yourself when you study. All right? So all things are lawful unto me. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but all things edify not. Now, he says here, does this mean that the believer can do whatever he pleases? No. The context is, what's he say? He says it's meat. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Would that be convenient if it's meat? Yes. But let's look, we look at context, look before, don't we? We look after, and we see if that's what he's talking about. All right, so in 1 Corinthians 6, it's verse number 12 that is our text. I'm trying to see how far we want to go. Okay, let's just go to verse number, this is so hard because we could read the whole thing. Look at verse number 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Now, the context here is that in Corinth, they were taking each other to court. They were having issues, civil issues, and they were going to the court, the government, the judicial side of the government to have that resolved. And Paul says, don't do that. The saints of Corinth can judge between these things. You guys can work this out without going to the lost, is what he's saying. He says, look at verse 6, it shows this. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, I see a word there that was mentioned in our text. What was it? But brother go to?
Law.
Law. That's interesting. What law is this? It's a civil law. That's interesting. It's just interesting. I'm not saying that's what our text means. I'm just saying that's interesting. We saw something, right? Now, therefore, it says, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be what?
Defrauded.
What's defraud mean? Defrauded.
Not just being wrong, not giving someone what they're owed.
Not giving somebody something that they're owed. You owe this, they don't give it, and you say, that person owes me, but it's going to mess up our relationship. I'm just going to let myself be defrauded. We don't always have to stand our ground and say, no, you owe me, you're paying, buddy. You lawfully can do that. Sometimes it's not expedient. It's interesting. Let's keep looking. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brothers. Now we see the other side. There are some people there. You're defrauding people. Then he's saying to the other crowd, it's okay if you're defrauded. Do you see this? Paul's saying, why are you defrauding your brothers? He's looking over here and saying, it's okay if you're defrauded. Because it depends what side of that issue you're on. Okay, we're just reading. Verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Why in the world are you going to the lost? They're not even going to inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, have we changed context yet? Have we changed context yet? No. No, he's still on that same topic, isn't he? On, you're going to law to the unbelievers. You guys can deal with this. And by the way, it's okay to be defrauded. Hey, don't defraud. That's kind of what's going on here. Do we see that? And then he goes through and say, why are you going to the world? They're adulterers. They're effeminate. They're not even going to inherit the kingdom of God. What are you doing? Right? Then verse 12 comes in. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What's the context? It really is. It's, I have rights. By civil rights, I'm being defrauded, and I want someone to pay. Is the context, have we saw meat yet? We haven't yet, have we? Where do we see meat? Well, verse 13. Meat's for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For the two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. He goes on from there. It's very interesting. There does seem to be at this point, he's kind of moving on a little bit from this issue and going to start dealing with some issues in particular to deal with fornication and deal with that. So the question becomes, where does meat come into this thing? And I think what we have in this context, as far as meats for the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them, is to say, I'm not sure if meat, like, because we have in Romans 8, where meat was sold in the shambles. The shambles was a place. So what happened in biblical times, Corinth, they would have idolatrous places of worship, and they would offer meat unto idols. And basically, it became to where if you were a Christian, if you knew Christ, you weren't going to participate in that, right? So then the question became, if they're offering meat to idols and then that meat showed up in the marketplace and that meat is cheaper, can I buy it and eat it? That's the question. Romans 8, what was Paul's response?
It's just meat.
I don't care if they offered it to some god that's not a god. It doesn't matter to me. That's good meat. But if somebody else knows that was offered, for conscience sake, not my own, but theirs. If someone else knows, hey, that was meat that was offered to an idol, for conscience sake, I won't eat. Why? It doesn't edify. Does that make sense? So we have all these competing things going on, but at the end of the day, what is the verse we're dealing with? All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Yes?
Say in verse 13, meat isn't even
it's not
at all. It's just using both. It's being used as a picture. Meats for the belly.
And it's all going to be destroyed.
Yeah, it's all going to be destroyed. Like, that's not even the point of the verse.
That's it. Do we see that? So by context, it's law. But the law we're talking about really is more of a civil thing. It's our interaction one with another in a civil arrangement. And by the way, if meat was the issue, we would see meat in 1 Corinthians 10. There is no meat in 1 Corinthians 10. So you have to redo this exercise in 1 Corinthians 10 to see what's lawful there and what's not lawful. The reality is, by the way, I have all kinds of notes on this. The reality is, as a believer, am I under the Mosaic law? No, I've been set free. The reality is that I will never, as a Christian, stand before Jesus Christ and have to be called into account and pay for any sin I've ever committed, because it's all been covered under the blood of Christ. If I could be judged for sin, I would not have salvation eternal. Now, are there practical things, reasons why I don't want to sin? Yeah, all things are not expedient. Absolutely. If I do something wrong, if I do something civilly against somebody, Are there recourses for that I may not like? Yes, right? If I do something against God and His Word, do I lose my salvation over that? Okay, so I continue to stay justified. In that context, all things are lawful for me too. Is that interesting? But all things are not expedient, and all things edify not. And I don't want to be brought under the power of other things. Those all still exist. So as we look at a passage like this, the direct context is truly dealing with a civil matter. That's what it is. Can we look at that and say, you know what though? There's some spiritual connotation here. Absolutely. You can absolutely do that. And you can look and say, you know what? Spiritually speaking, as a Christian, all things are lawful unto me. We may not like it, but that's Bible, because Jesus has paid for all of my sins. All. Amen? But are all things expedient? Absolutely not. Yes?
And even when it comes to things like you brought up a couple weeks ago, something about you can make an argument, like obviously we all know it's not good for a Christian to be smoking cigarettes, but you cannot find a verse in the Bible that directly says, thou shalt not smoke a cigarette.
Right.
But you could take that verse and it's like, yeah, it might be lawful. It might be, like, I can't tell you that the Bible says you can't do this.
That's right.
But it's not expedient. It's not going to edify somebody else. And instead it could justify.
And it may hurt your testimony.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to be edifying, and you can be brought under the power of that.
Here's what most Christians do. They look at stuff and they say, can I do that? Or can't I do that? I would say it depends. And I would say, number one, God's opinion does matter. I want to please my Lord. I love Him, right? It says that, can I or can't I? You can go walk out in traffic if you want to today. Is that expedient?
No.
No. Can you do it? Sure. Sure. You can say some really hurtful words to somebody today. Can you do that? Yeah. Is that expedient? No. And you can do all kinds of things, right? Is it? What I do as a Christian, is it going to cause me to lose my salvation? No. But am I going to have to give an account to God why? Absolutely. Right? Is that going to help so-and-so serve God, or is it going to give me an excuse to never come to church again? Both of those possible. So this is how we look at things. It's not can I or can't I? No. Is this a good thing to do or a bad thing to do? Based on the circumstance, based on the issue. And there are some things that, like Paul mentioned with the meat, certain circumstances, I'm going to eat that meat and enjoy it and get it 50% off down there at the Shambles. And I'm fine. I'm fine with that. And then other times he's like, you know what, with the crowd that's around me, I'm going to pay the higher price for the meat that wasn't offered and sacrificed to idols. It really doesn't matter. I'm going to eat the meat. It's going to go out in the draw. I'm going to enjoy both. But my brother matters. How others see me matters. And so that really becomes the context. But this direct context is not meat. It is dealing with issues amongst our brethren. And it's okay to be defrauded. Have you ever been defrauded? Somebody wronged you and you said, you know what? I'm just going to let love cover that. I'm not going to hold it against them and all that. That's fine. Other times, you know what? They need to be held account. You just got to follow God on these things. But make sure that if you do that, it's expedient. Whew. Does that make sense? That's how we look at passages and just work through it. Work through it. At the end of the day, you may not like the outcome, but we're just going to stay true to the context. Amen? Amen. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this little exercise. It's a blessing. And thank you for the participation, Lord, in this. I pray it be a help. And help us not to be afraid of approaching the Word of God and learning exactly what you have for us in it. And help us not to read into it, try to make it say something it doesn't. And Lord, also help us not to be afraid to find out exactly what it says and to stick with that. Help us now with it. Thank you for this day. Bless the service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.